This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. You've made it to Monday morning. You did it. Yes, you thought you would never make it here. You thought your weekend would never end, and here you are.
You live to see another week.
That's right. And the week doesn't care if you like it or not. It's coming at you.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an aggressive violator. Yeah, it is. Monday's a violator. Monday comes into your peace and serenity, and it goes, I'm here, and I'm going to take what I want.
If Monday was a person, how would it look?
Horrible.
Oh, like a hairy ogre. With warts and tears coming out of those warts.
Monday's your favorite day of the week, Leanne, so I don't know what you mean by that.
Hairs
and warts on those hairs that are coming out of the warts.
Ew.
Warty hairs.
That's a visual you didn't think you'd have this morning.
Oh, Monday sounds delightful.
Warty hairs.
While we're on it, do the rest of the days have a look as well?
Oh, what do they look like?
What do the rest of them look like?
Well, Tuesday is the same guy, just with the warts removed. Yeah.
Wednesday? Improvement?
Wednesday is a new character completely.
Okay.
It's hump day, so he has a hunchback. Okay.
Thursday
is... kind of in between Pinocchio and it's Pinocchio with a beard. He's kind of he's fun. He's looking up.
I'd love to get into your head. All right, Friday.
Friday is like the Disney fairy, the one that turns the pages with its wand.
Okay,
when you hear the chime ring, yes, like
that one. Okay.
Saturday is kind of like a happy little elf.
A happy little elf, huh?
Yes. And then Sunday, the elf has started to grow and put on weight.
Yes.
And he's got signs of warts. And then Monday comes.
And he's about to become Monday.
Fully fledged Monday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Wow. Okay. So then we've got to have theme songs for each of those days as well, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And when you hear Monday music, how does that sound?
It's that drum, bum, 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 bum. You know, he just comes
Monday,
in and takes what he
Monday
wants.
Is Monday sort of like this?
Yes, that's exactly the one I was thinking of.
Right.
I can actually picture the warty hairs here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Bum, 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 bum.
Tuesday's a little lighter.
Okay, so maybe it's more
still,
light.
Yeah.
But still treacherous.
Yeah, because you've now realized Monday fucked you so hard that this is what you feel like on Tuesday.
All right. By Wednesday, has it changed significantly?
Yeah, so Wednesday is... who was Wednesday again?
Hunchback.
Oh, yes, the hunchback.
Yeah, that doesn't give me much to work on. Hunchback music is not a genre that I'm familiar with.
That's sad.
Maybe something like this...
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thursday?
Thursday is the mixture between Pinocchio with a beard. He's like quite funny.
Oh, okay. Maybe that needs to be something like this.
That's right. Thursday's music.
Is Thursday Irish?
Things are looking up, yeah.
All right. How about Friday?
Friday's the little fairy that...
Oh, that's got to be that Disney song, right?
Yes.
Let me really work my magic this morning.
Wow.
Sure, I got to dig deep for this one.
It's like magical.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if I've got it here, because I know exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I know precisely the music that you're looking for, Leanne.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yes. I'm going to find it for you. Here we go.
There we go.
My prince will come.
That's it.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, very good. And don't worry about Saturday and Sunday. I think that's all like techno trance.
Except Sunday with the signs of warts.
No, you know what Sunday's music is. Come on. Everybody does. It's like the end of your weekend and the beginning of all kinds of pain.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That's what Sundays sound like.
All right. I actually saw a funny post from Derek Watts over the weekend.
What did he say?
He used the Face app to take a photo of himself, and he says, after a week of covering the state capture inquiry, this is what I look like.
And he made himself old.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Older.
Hey, there are a couple of things that I've come to understand about this age app. I went to a dinner on Saturday night, and two of the other people there said that now that they've done the age app thing, to make themselves look older.
Yeah.
They cannot unsee it. And now every time they're in front of the mirror, all they see is their avatar 20, 30 years from now. And it's they both agreed that it was destroying their confidence.
Oh, no.
Their happiness and their contentedness that up to now they'd had, believing somehow erroneously that they would be attractive or good looking or less old as they got older. It's not going to be so. Leanne.
I know.
Sure, she showed me hers finally. I wondered why yours was taking so long to come through.
Oh, I sent you one with a beard.
Yes,
old
that's
with a
not
beard.
Attractive, yeah.
Because I do have to shave a little.
Do you have some peach pluck. Fuzz?
How attractive?
Peach fuzz
Tell
and then
more.
Like one or two hard, dark ones.
Mm. Oh, Jesus.
That are painful to pull out.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah.
Are they like warty hairs?
Warty
They are. And it's quite fun to take someone who doesn't have hair and put hair on them.
Yes.
I did that with my brother.
Sure.
He looked... Yeah, that would be the answer.
Leanne, are you worried about aging?
No, I don't give a shit. I really don't.
Sia still hasn't done the age app and he won't.
Mm-mm.
First of all,
oh, really?
Okay, no. First of all, he's too vain. And second of all, he knows he's going to see it every day. He looks in the mirror and he doesn't want that.
It's like that 10-year challenge. I don't need certain things out there.
And the other thing is obviously that the Russians are using these pictures to build a database of all the people in the world.
You see,
I don't know why anyone would think that's possible. First of all, you know how much memory that's going to take up. The Russians, let's just remember, this is not a country that is imbued with some kind of secret science that none of the rest of us know about. Like Russia is a disaster. It has been a disaster since 1914. Everything that the rest of the world does, Russia manages to like leapfrog occasionally, like they did with the space program or with nuclear energy, but then they ultimately fail because they have absolutely no regard for safety, they have no regard for process, they just don't have any discipline. Like there isn't any.
But even if they did, what are they going to do with these things?
So what, like people can't find a picture of you online?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's the idea of the enemy.
Oh, please. There's so many pictures of me online, and most of them are hideously unflattering. I don't need an age app. I can see ugly pictures of me. Just Google my own name, and I want to fucking kill myself.
Oh, jeez.
But Russians. You're telling me... Are we worried about Russians?
You're telling me if the Russians really did want to see how you look like, they have no other means about it.
It's called Google.
It's everywhere.
Like, Google's your biggest enemy, not Vladimir Putin. I make app to make people to look old, so steal visual images of people make to corrupt systems, steal souls. What do you think he is? Some kind of arch villain with a cloak and a cape and like eyes that glow in the dark. He's just a dude. Everybody's so terrified about Vladimir Putin. He's the most dangerous man in the universe. And you know what he is? He is smarter than you, that's for sure. But he's certainly not able to control all these levers. You know, people are saying he controlled the election, he turned the election towards Donald Trump. Well then, I mean, why don't you, if you think he's so powerful, why don't you worship at the altar of Vladimir Putin and move to Russia? If he's so brilliant, how come Russia isn't the most brilliant country to live in? People there are shitting themselves every day to get food.
Yeah, most of them don't have a phone to put the app on.
Anytime any Russian makes any money, you know what the first thing is they do? Get the fuck out of Russia. That's what they do. Oligarchs and all these people with money. You think they stay in Russia because it's such a wonderful place? No, they get out as quickly as they can. Buy property, South Africa. Buy property, England. Buy property, France. Buy property, somewhere else. Get out Russia.
Oh.
None of them want to stay in Russia. What are you talking about? Vladimir Putin's this brilliant master, this criminal mastermind. He's just a dude. He's managed to figure out how to stay in power in Russia. He feeds them with their nationalism, which they love. He's made a nice alliance with the Russian Orthodox Church, which most of the people in Russia love. And he said to them, we'll stop Russia from having to be as embarrassing as it has been for most of its history. I'll give you something to be proud of. We'll invade Georgia and Chechnya. Great.
And he's just a dude who likes to, you know, hop on a horse half naked.
Yeah. I mean, liberal internationalists all think that Russia is the most evil, dangerous place in the world because it's just the opposite of their own philosophy. It's hardly had the kind of success that... I mean, if Russia was amazingly successful, I'd understand it, all of this. Yeah. He's the puppet master. He's controlling Donald Trump, and he's controlling the Brexit, and he's made NATO irrelevant, and all this stuff that these people claim. It's nonsense.
Mm.
Absolute nonsense. Anyway, there's my rant for the morning. We've got it out of the way before 17 past 6.
But I remember watching a documentary about the handful of, I think the word aristocrats is apt in this case, who live in Russia. You know, the families way back when, I don't know, my history isn't really that great, who just got thrown tons of...
Are you talking about now?
Yeah, there's still some wealthy people.
Yeah, these are the people
in Russia.
The oligarchs.
Yeah.
These are the people who are benefited from Boris Yeltsin and his daughter parceling out
state enterprise.
Yeah. It's kind of like what the ANC has done with its stalwart cadres. I mean, there are people in the ANC who've done extremely well since 1994. They are our oligarchs.
His name has slipped my mind. The British journalist who did this documentary and put it together. But there was this one particular billionaire, easily, who took the journalist around his massive estate.
Have you seen how tasteless these Russians are, by the way?
Tacky.
They make everything gold.
Tacky.
And they make everything super shiny. I mean, if you're in London, for example, which I was, 3 weeks ago?
Mm.
I was there for a day. The Russians are so in your face. Mm. They're so new money. It's a lot like our BEE guys here. They have to show how much they've got because they come from shit, right?
Mm.
I mean, this is unfortunately the fact with Russians, the oligarchs, is they've grown up standing in a bread queue without shoes on with their mother who looks like one of those babushka dolls, those matryoshka dolls,
mm-hmm.
the ones that inside, and it's got a headscarf mm-hmm. on and a face like a potato. And she's standing there going, give me please some bread for son Dmitry. And they come from that, and then they suddenly find themselves in, like, billions of dollars.
Mm.
And so they buy the flashiest shit they can.
They try to emulate what their concept of wealth.
Yeah, they think that's success, so they want to show you that they're successful. And, I mean, they're paper-thin egos. They're all involved in violence. It's just...
Drugs.
It's a bet on drugs and whatever, because they're trying so hard for people to take them seriously. And people in civilized places in the world don't. They look at this with I suppose, shame. They look at these Russian oligarchs and they think, what is this? These people are trying so hard to fit in, and they're trying so hard to be important. And of course their money doesn't buy them importance, because in English society no one wants Russians around. They don't invite them anywhere. They don't get taken seriously by...
No matter how much money they have.
No, it's the weirdest thing. And I think there's a lot of that that's going on with, like, these BEE tenderpreneurs. You know what I mean? These guys are exactly the same story. They've come out of this hellhole of an existence that they had before they became rich, where they really didn't have anything to give them an idea of what values are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they attribute all the value to material things. You could say that about a lot of rappers, too, because they sing about brands. And, like, this is the stuff that makes them feel grand. The more brands they can mention and acquire, the greater they'll feel about themselves. But they're still, like, street people at the end of the day, you know. I mean, it's horrible, but it's the truth.
Mm.
And I think that a lot of these guys end up back there again. And that's that gnawing pain, that gnawing feeling that it's not going to last, because it never really does. If you're spending on plating your car gold, like some of these Russians would in London. They actually electroplate the whole car in gold to show everyone, look, me rich. What happens is they either get assassinated in some mob hit by one of the other Russians who's jealous of, because it's all like they're really actually showing off to each other as much as they're showing off to the rest of the world. And then they get taken out, or the deal goes awry, or Vladimir cuts the supply, and then suddenly they're like all of the money, because they spend it all on like stuff that's depreciating and stuff that isn't actually worth anything. Then it starts to disappear, and they get into a panic. They don't make smart investments or any of this stuff, so they end up poor again. And it's like, you know, that old adage of money doesn't flow uphill. So if you find yourself...
It's like lotto winners, you see how they end up back at square one again. Because of bad planning and spending.
Or in the words of the great notorious B.I.G., more money, more problems.
Yeah.
Word, dog.
Damn right. Now, there was a smart man, and he sang about real shit. He rapped properly. You want to hear some good rap music? And look, not his fault he died in a hail of bullets, too. Live by the sword, you die by the sword.
I'm trying to keep him up there for now.
Yeah, I know. It's hard, right? It's tough as hell. All right. Apparently, there is a really cool series on Netflix called The Last Tsar.
Oh.
Now, look that up. I must maybe download that thing. It sounds like the kind of thing I'd like to watch. Wow. So much to get caught up on. How was everybody's weekend? Gugu, what did you do this weekend?
Dude, I had a bit of a long week before that, so the plan for the weekend was to do absolutely fuck all.
And did you succeed?
I did.
Well
I
done.
Did.
Beyond your wildest dreams?
Dude, a lot of sleeping happened this weekend, so I'm kind of happy.
You look rested.
Thanks.
I had a nice and quiet weekend as well.
What did you get up to?
Dinner on Saturday, which ended way earlier than I thought. I think it was home by midnight. And Friday was very chilled. Did nothing. So it was actually also a weekend for me of kind of consolidation. Anybody have
I watched
breakaway story from that?
I've only now started Orange is the New Black.
Yes, you said so the other
day. So I'm now on season 4.
Oh, you are properly binging it.
You're motoring through it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's...
Did you stop to pee?
Barely. I had it on my laptop and my phone, so if I became mobile, I just started watching on my phone.
But Leanne, Orange is the New Black is so like emotionally intense. I don't know how you're watching all of that, where an episode someone dies, then the next they protest, then the next there's a
hunger strike. It's pretty intense.
It's a lot.
You start living it in your mind.
Imagining yourself in prison?
Yeah, because it's becoming like I'm brainwashed by it now. So when I see food in the fridge, I get all excited that I even have a fridge. You know?
Yeah, so
I feel very grateful. My shower is so beautiful compared to the one that someone just took a dump in. You know?
It's a little brainwashing. Yeah. You are right.
So I feel quite good about my life.
Mm.
I'm not in the shoe. I've got no
look at you with your prison talk now.
I've got a big commissary in my kitchen.
Yeah, you feel like the most lucky prisoner that ever there was. Yeah. Soon you'll be wearing like orange tracksuits around your house.
Exactly. I mean, I've already turned lesbian.
Yeah, there you go. That's great news for a Monday morning.
I don't want to dare surprise you in the corridor. You'll turn around and stab me then.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know how to chop up a guard that I've killed and bury him in the herb garden.
All right, that did happen in the series. Yeah, yes.
So. I got to watch this show. I never saw it.
It's so good.
Well, I had a weekend that was filled to the brim with my nephew.
Yes. Oh, you were babysitting, weren't you?
And he was teaching him how to ride a bicycle. I saw this.
Oh, the backstory to that, Gareth, is just a mess. So the idea escalated very quickly. The initial idea was just to take my nephew out to watch the new Lion King with a friend of mine. We had agreed on that, and I told his parents, and they were all fine. And then they're like, actually, you know, you can take him the whole weekend. And I thought...
They went some time out.
Firstly, I saw straight through that they were just trying to hand off responsibility to me. But then I thought, actually, I haven't seen him in a while. It will be cool. And now, since he's turning 8, you know, we can talk, we can reason. Fine. You know, he's very easy to maintain. And he's also just a proper, sweet, and well-mannered kid. Well, so I really don't mind being around him.
It's rare.
But I just learned... And we
credit
speak
to your
about
sister.
It.
Credit to your sister for that, because I read something the other day about how kids, once you get to 4, if you're not socialized properly, you were never going to be socialized. Mm. You see these like little brats running around in hoodies and like ignoring adults and shit.
Yeah.
These kids are never, like, there isn't a time from now until they're dead that they will improve. They haven't got those basics in place. Up to the age of 4, they're ruined. They are ruined people. They're going to grow up to be a problem to society.
Too late.
Yeah, so think about that, parents.
Yeah.
Let me heap some extra responsibility on you this morning. Monday morning, and you are responsible for making sure that your kid by 4 is properly socialized so that the rest of us don't have a problem with it later on.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And we always talk about parenting on the show. We always talk about how difficult it is.
My brother was saying he went to Bounce. You know, you go on those big trampolines and
things. Oh, yeah.
He took his 2 kids to Bounce, and he said that it was, they love it there, obviously. Kids love jumping in the air and,
mm-hmm.
you know, on those things you jump really high. And there's like these marshals who look after them to make sure that they all go in their own turn. He said most of these kids are very well behaved. They all stand in the line and they wait their turn. But then there are these other kids who just like push in and go straight to the front of the queue. Their parents don't get involved at all. I mean, we're talking exactly in this age range that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
Up to the age of 4. So obviously these parents are not that interested in what their kids are up to. And they just let them get away with blue murder and rushing to the front of a queue. And they don't have any kind of idea of how society works. That there have to be rules.
That's where the issues really start.
Right. And I mean, if this is again why I'm so glad I don't have children, so I don't see how horrible other people's children are. And or my own. If
and make
some.
Sure your own aren't
yeah, well,
horrible.
You see, I know. I'd probably have brats myself, so I got to watch out.
But just to show
sure
how...
I'm going to get sterilized.
Yeah,
I've
think
decided.
So.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's that good. It's a
escalated.
Good idea.
Escalated.
Make an
Let's
appointment
just get
now.
Sterilized. Yeah.
No, I don't want to make this a group activity.
Anybody want to come with? Yeah, let's all go.
I'll pass. Thanks.
I don't really have to worry, so whether I go or not doesn't make a difference.
You ain't getting anyone pregnant.
No pregnancy scare, nothing happening.
Oh, please, according to that psychic, you are sleeping around with so many women.
Let's wait and see. But to show how well-mannered my nephew was, there was a point over the weekend and I was waiting for delivery and security wouldn't let this guy in for the delivery. It was a little bit of an issue. So I thought,
at your house?
Yeah, at home. And I thought, oh, let me just walk to the main gate. It's fine. And I'm about to open the door and my nephew goes, what am I meant to do without you? I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know, like live, do something. And I say, like, just in passing, okay, sit down, I'll be back. I swear to goodness, I go to the gate, I pick up the delivery, I come back, and I find him in the exact same
oh,
spot.
That's so sweet.
Like, just waiting for me the entire time.
It's so amazing. Like, kids just, when they're good, you just love them.
Yeah.
When they're bad, you cannot stand them. You want to burn them at the stake.
So, yeah, it ended up being that somehow his parents had bought him a bicycle to enter into this race at school.
Yeah.
But the Bright Sparks didn't think of the fact that, like, had he learned how to cycle anywhere? And I had to do the walk of shame with my other sister. On Sunday, we go to school and he was signed up for this race and it was 6 kilometers.
Right.
And I say to him, look, I'm going to register you so long, but you can go and cycle with your friends as you guys warm up. And he tries to get onto the bicycle and struggles for a good, like, 2 minutes. And that's when it dawned on us, like, oh, shucks, he actually doesn't know how to cycle. So we had to pull him out, and we went off to a nearby park, and we spent the morning teaching him how to cycle.
That was so sweet. I saw your Instagram, and I saw you taking him on the little bike and holding the handlebars for him.
It was really cute.
He learned how to pedal.
Yeah.
He's got it right now?
Now he does.
Wow, good for you.
But look, at like 4:30 when I dropped him off yesterday, I went straight home, poured myself a good stiff drink. I thought, done with this.
You know, he will remember that for the rest of his life. You're going to be you're going to be the uncle who taught him how to ride his bike. It's going to mean the world to him. He may never become like a major bike enthusiast, but oh man, that's a
hell
of a thing.
He'll tell his grandkids that his uncle taught him to
Okay,
see, that's cool, Sia. That's
no,
got
it was a good weekend.
That's
made a
beautiful.
Mark.
Yeah, that's amazing. And they're so proud of themselves. Man. So he didn't even start with the little wheels, the training wheels or any of that
no,
stuff?
No, we just had to like throw him in there.
Wow.
And also, you know, it was freezing in Joburg this weekend.
Yeah.
And being outside was super windy. Ooh, so yeah. I was like, oh, let's get the show on the road. Like,
yes.
Let him fall, let him cut himself a bit. He didn't, but I was ready to just push him down the hill and he'll figure it out. He'll figure out where the brake pads are and whatnot.
Do you remember how scary that was?
When
someone was holding your saddle and then they weren't anymore. My dad did that in our driveway. We had a really long driveway. And yeah. I got to the gates and I realized that I didn't have brakes and I didn't know that there were back pedal brakes.
Oh, shit.
So I crashed into the... No, before I crashed, I jumped off. But the bar... Yeah, I fell onto the bar with my vagine.
Oh, ow.
Didn't say anything to him, obviously, because he's a man. Went inside bawling to my mom. This massive blood blister.
Jeez.
And like serious trauma.
How hectic.
Oh, so yeah, you it's a good thing you created a good memory.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, you could have had that memory, see.
Yeah.
I think I did well then, I'm glad.
Sure. See, the stakes are high. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into some news. Some of the biggest stories of the day, the things that everyone is talking about. First things first, South Africa's honeybees are under threat.
Mm.
Have you heard about this? This is a problem all over the world.
Yeah.
But apparently, honeybees are being targeted by criminals.
What?
Yes. I mean,
trying to make money out of them.
I'm telling you, after I read that story the other day about the guy with the front-end loader, bulldozer... excavator thing that he'd filled with drugs. We are so good at crime, even the bees are a target. Like if we could export our crime know-how and our desire to steal from each other, we'd be the richest country in the world.
It's
just unreal. So beekeepers have raised concerns about the growing number of plundered hives and unregistered bee removals. Lack of pollen, poison, extreme weather conditions, and urban development continue to threaten bee populations. And by the way, it's bee, not B-E-E.
Yes.
In South Africa, they face an additional challenge. Criminals have been stealing hives in search of the most prized product, honey. People do not leave the hives alone. They break, rob, and destroy them. So in South Africa, that's a big challenge. Look, if you're growing, if you've got a bee farm and you keep bees, they have to be kept out in the open. Now, you don't think you have to put infrared cameras and laser perimeter fencing and things around a beehive, but clearly you do because people will even steal the honey.
Wow.
Yeah. Hannes Grobler, who's a bee kind of farmer, I suppose, he says the mutual coexistence is under pressure from unregistered bee removals. People go around and say that they remove them, but they actually kill them. So here it is not proper removal taking place. Pollination by bees is essential to agricultural food production. Do you realize?
Exactly. We will not have fruit or vegetables. There will be no pollination.
Bees are more important than humans to the ecosystem.
Yeah.
Without bees, plants won't be able to grow and die. And, well, they won't be able to grow and live and then die. They'll just go straight to die. Whereas humans, if we come out of the food chain, guess what happens? All the other things carry on living happily. Bees are more important than you.
Take that this morning for some perspective.
Right. So there's something to be scared of. Monjo.
Oh, Monjo.
Yeah, Leanne's former neighborhood.
Law enforcement, I hope it's good news.
Law enforcement authorities are investigating a possible human trafficking syndicate at least 19 men were rescued from a house in Mondeo in southern Johannesburg. All the victims are believed to be Ethiopian nationals. They were found at the premises on Friday following a tip-off. A suspect has been arrested and is expected to appear in court soon. The Hawks, Divuo Mulamu, says 19 men have been taken from a dwelling in Mondeo where they were to be transported to a district office for processing, and a suspect was arrested for possible kidnapping or human trafficking.
Jeez.
So it's happening right in front
hectic.
Of you. Yeah, how's that, huh? That's some scary stuff. Former Eskom employee has been sentenced to 12 years for cable theft.
Uh-oh.
A former Eskom employee in Mpumalanga has been handed a 12-year jail term for stealing copper cable worth 1.2 million rand.
I wonder if he stole it while he was working there.
Zipo Zonke Ntuli was arrested on 2 counts of theft in the Middelburg Regional Court on Thursday. He was arrested last year after investigations by the Hawks linked him to 2 incidents of theft. Hawks spokesperson Dino Sekhodi said Ntuli has been sentenced to 12 years of imprisonment for each count, and the sentence has been ordered to run concurrently. Yo, 12 years for stealing cables. You know, I want to know if these former CEOs and the board members of Eskom, who stole way more than just cable, if they're going to go to jail too. I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see people going to jail for all the wide-scale theft that we've seen with the state capture shit that's going on at the Zondo Commission.
Being held accountable?
Yeah, you would think so. In Velkom, 16 people were injured when a minibus taxi veered out of control and rolled into a swamp.
Oh, no.
On the side of the R730 at the Bronville intersection outside Velkom in the Free State on Sunday afternoon. Apparently, they arrived at 3:20 p.m. in the afternoon to find that the passengers had managed to extricate themselves from the vehicle. But 14 adults and 2 children were treated on the scene before being transported by ER-24 in another emergency vehicle to a private hospital in Velkom. They actually show a picture of this, like this taxi in the swamp. It's a proper swamp. It's got water and reeds.
It's a bog.
Looks like a swamp. I didn't know we had swamps in Velkom. That's nice.
Well, not nice when you end up in it.
The hawks are warning the public to be careful of dodgy Bitcoin investment schemes. Yeah, this is a problem. And, you know, we'll talk later on to Sean Sanders from Revix, because when the price goes up and down like this, a lot of dodgy people see an opportunity to make money. And instead of just trading their own money, they try and persuade other people to trade theirs.
Mm.
You can do this yourself. You don't need to trust anyone else with your cryptocurrency. You can do it yourself. You must have your password. You must know how much you put in. You can link your accounts to it if you want to, but you're in charge. Let someone else do it for you. It's very scary. Apparently, Lloyd Ramova of the Hawks said that if anything looks too good to be true, it usually is. The repo rate is at 10.25 basis points. So if any investment scheme claims to surpass that, then it is a bit of a red flag. The Hawks are also looking into similar Bitcoin investment schemes in Newcastle because they're tracking a suspected fraudster who's made off with millions in Ladysmith. Remember, this came up on the news not so long ago.
Imagine Ladysmith of all places. I
mean, what a place. What a place to have a Bitcoin investment booming pyramid scheme.
This proper scheme is taking place in Ladysmith.
My goodness. What an interesting world we live in. Those are the stories, the main stories from the news this morning. We've got Anthea coming up in a moment or two. She'll give us a look at the markets, find out what's going on with your money. And don't forget, later on, Revix, Sean Sanders will join us. We'll talk to him about what's going on with Libra, because I think a lot of people are interested in what Libra's done. It certainly gave a huge surge to the Bitcoin price. By the way, that's currently at $10,551. Ethereum is at $225. It's down considerably from its highs of $13,000 in Bitcoin at the, I think that was about four and a half weeks ago. But it's going up and down, and Trump hasn't been helpful, apparently. Trump is now getting the blame for the decline in the Bitcoin price. He said something like, "I don't like Bitcoin, I don't trust it." Now, you'd think if everyone thought Trump was such a moron, like you read in the news every day, they wouldn't listen to him. In fact, it would make the Bitcoin price go up.
See, things like that would make me go crazy in power. If by what I said, I could honestly affect an entire industry, all he had to say was, "I don't trust Bitcoin," and the Bitcoin price goes down, oh, I would go crazy with power.
You would.
You'd be properly.
That's called caprice. Capriciousness. When you would fiddle with it. You'd use power capriciously.
Imagine what that does to you as one single human being, and what you say has the sort of impact.
Well, this is why it matters who the finance minister in this country is, because it has a direct effect on the rand. And if Cyril wakes up one morning and he says, "Oh, it's a disaster, things are bad, we're about to be junk," then the rand will tank. Yeah, you've got to, when you have power like that, you've got to be really, really careful about what you do with it.
Yeah, because right now, just saying I don't like nougat, not even my grandmother would take me seriously.
No, your grandmother. In fact, she just messaged me to say, just ignore Sia. <Sia. laughs>
Sounds like her.
Riette says, "Hey, Leanne, I'm also watching Orange is the New Black, binging like a Russian who just came into some money. It's intense."
Yeah. Oh. And there's a Russian in there.
That's right.
Oh, red.
Red.
Have they started that Instagram like hide thing?
Oh.
Where they're going to actually hide the number of likes you get for a post?
I think they started in Australia.
Yes, Australia, New Zealand.
I wish they'd started here.
They've started it, and then they'll be rolling it out to the rest of the world soon.
Wouldn't you love them to start it here? Come on, let's get it over and done with.
I'd like to see how it'll impact the way we measure exposure for brands through influencers. It's going to change some things on the business front, I think.
I'd like them to start doing it ASAP. I really would. I don't want to hear from influencers about their favorite product. Even if they're friends of mine, the minute they start with that stuff, I just unfollow. I don't take you... I can't take you seriously if I know that this brand is paying you a lot of money to use something and then you're using... But you do it so badly. You're like, you make it seem so obvious that this is like, I'm being paid to do this. You know, we have lots of sponsors here on cliffcentral.com and they're trying to reach you if you listen to us. But I try to make it stuff that's valuable and interesting to you. I'm not trying to throw stuff in here that... Imagine if I just suddenly came on here and said, you know, I use this and I use that and therefore you should. That's how they do it. It's just crass. They don't do it very well.
It's a little old
school. If a friend says to you, I've been making use of this and it's really cool, maybe you want to try it and that's what you're looking for, awesome. But if they're trying to push stuff down your throat and every time you see them on social media, they're just plugging their stuff. You're going to get tired very quickly.
You've got to find, it's like with YouTube content creators, and I've subscribed to a number of channels. Some of them do push products, or not push products, but they advertise products.
Right.
But you've got to find the right ones, like the ones who are going to be completely honest about this product. Right. They firstly will say that this is sponsored, or it's PR, or I bought it. Mm-hmm. And they'll be dead honest about the product and usually compare it to something else and you can make your own choice from there.
And do you mind that?
No, not at all. I looked for it.
Because one of the trends that I've been seeing from YouTube and reading about is that YouTube as a platform is pushing for more and more content creators to post longer videos. Longer videos means that more eyeballs on the screen and means that they can intercept with more ads. Mm.
So the YouTube creator themselves decides on how many ad breaks to insert and when they are inserted. And there's a YouTuber who's one of the top, Jenna Marbles. And
Jenna Marbles?
Yeah.
Like Teddy Westbrook.
Tati.
Titty sounds better.
And Jenna Marbles refuses to do any advertising.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they won't have... YouTube won't even insert ads into there?
No.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh. Okay. So you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I'm into these ad blockers, man. I know I shouldn't say that because there's lots of people who depend on this as their livelihood. But if I'm watching a YouTube video, and sometimes the ads aren't those ones you can skip. You know the ones that play
watch
the
it.
Whole thing? Those brands I develop a hatred for. So that when I see them, I purposefully do not touch them. They have like a cancer on them because they've ruined my YouTube experience. It's amazing how that happens. You can have a good experience and you'll like something. Like there are a couple of ads that are good and you don't even feel that annoyed. But these ones that you can't skip,
and it's the repetition as well.
They're gone for like 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you are right. It's all to the repetition, yeah.
It's time for Anthea. Let's see what Anthea's got for us this morning. Hello, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm a little bit rushed this morning. It's hard to get up. It's getting so cold. You're giving me that look.
Well, listen, people are telling me that it's not as cold as they thought it would be, and winter's almost over, and it's starting to get better, and I don't know if that's true, but let's hear what you've got for us in the markets this morning.
Right, where shall we start?
Well, it's up to you. What do you want to start with?
How about we start with some good news?
Go for it. Thank goodness.
The South African Reserve Bank has cut interest rates. Yay!
Absolutely. Hooray for that.
Only by 25 basis points, or a quarter of a percent, as you guys say.
But you predicted this.
I did.
Yeah.
But at least they decided unanimously that we needed a cut. So everything sounding a little bit dovish, you know. Maybe those hawks have left, eh, Francois Daniel? Mm-hmm. No, actually, that's not true, because I do think Lesetje is a bit of a hawk. And he was giving us such a hard time about saying that it's not up to the Reserve Bank to stimulate the economy. The government needs to do it. They need to start sort out their structural issues and to put in proper policy in place. So it's interesting that he's so reticent to be cutting interest rates when we as consumers so desperately need it. Mm-hmm. They did cut growth forecasts for this year again to 0.6%, very disappointing. And they've left next year's growth rate unchanged at 1.8%. So they think that they're...
In a year, it's going to double.
Triple, from 0.6 to 1.8. And, like, how crazy is that? Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they cut next year's growth forecast or whatever they do, the next meeting.
So what do they think is going to happen? Jesus is going to come and take control of the economy?
And a quarter of a percent rate cut is not going to make that much of
Who
a difference.
Who predicted this? Who predicted these growth rates?
The Reserve Bank.
They decided, okay, well, this year it's not really going as well as we thought, so we'll bring that down a little, and next year it'll be fantastic.
Exactly.
What, have they got a crystal ball?
Oh, I hope so, because it would be nice to see our growth change phenomenally, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, because a quarter of a rate cut is hardly enough to stimulate the economy, you know, to get us to kind of tripling the growth rate. And then I'm also worried about this potential fight, war, I don't want to use war, battle, that's starting in the Persian Gulf, in the Strait of Hormuz, because another British tanker was captured by Iran last week, and you know what that's done to oil price. So I know you all got a petrol price decrease last week, but I'm afraid if this carries on, petrol's going to go up again next month. It's not looking good. It's very disappointing, actually. And of course, I mean, what can we do about it? That's completely out of our hands. Those are called exogenous factors.
Exogenous.
Yeah, coming from outside. We've got no control over them. It's not like the interest rates. And CEO's Googling again.
I'll be using that three more times today.
Yeah, it's not erogenous.
Exogenous.
I laughed too loudly, didn't I? That's funny.
It was a little too exciting.
All right.
And then in company news, Ford is committing to employing 1,200 people as they ramp up their plant in South Africa.
That's great.
It's very exciting.
And a lot of people investing in us at the moment, so we'll take everything we can get.
I really think, you know, we were talking about Ramaphosa and how it's waned, but I think Cyril has got this whole getting foreign investment. I think he's focusing on it and kind of getting it right. At least I hope he is. But this is hopefully testament to it. They're employing 104 skilled artisans and technicians in the plant, and then the rest will be kind of factory working. So it should help a little bit. I mean, 1,200 in an economy where unemployment...
We'll take it. We'll take it. Thank you very much.
All right, I'll take it.
Now, I've seen so many people are taking their businesses overseas. So many people are moving. It's really not looking good. The housing market is a great way to figure out what's going on, because you can buy everywhere, but you can sell nothing right now.
Absolutely.
No one is buying property.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's over. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's an estate agent, and she was kind of at this stage,
Julius can have the land. It's no value to it, yeah.
And she was saying how the property market literally has collapsed. Like, there is just nothing going on. And she was saying, do I think it'll change? And I don't, actually. I don't think it'll change for the next 6 months, at least. I mean, I can't see anything that's going... I don't see any catalyst that's going to change it.
Right.
Basically. But if you do have a bit of money, there are some bargains out there, I tell you.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, oh, yes. For
property-wise?
Sure. Oh, yes. If you've got a bit of money.
You end up with double the problem. Because now you've bought and you don't know whether it's going to improve in value.
But property is not a short-term game, right?
No,
property is long-term, and it's an illiquid asset. And so when you buy, you know that it's going to be 10 years before you sell, at least. And if... Now's as good a time as any if you've got some cash. The problem, of course, is that nobody's got cash.
Yes, that could be a problem. Has Marcus Uster given any of his over that Steinhoff have demanded?
Who? The ghost. I mean, that man's just disappeared, hasn't he?
Ghost. Yeah, nobody seems to know where he is.
Yeah. I haven't heard from him for ages, except that court case where Steinhoff are trying to get back some of their money. But other than that...
Yeah, and he's just dead quiet.
He was supposed to take Stein... Like, to stand up against this court or this judgment from Steinhoff, but I haven't heard a word.
Nothing, not a peep, huh?
Mm-mm.
Huh. All right.
Anyway, talk about companies that are in a bit of trouble. EOH was down 12% on Wednesday. Oof. Here's another company that's just plagued with problems. Eh?
You rang the alarm bell on these guys 2 years ago already.
Well, it was a while ago. Yeah.
And you said, watch out, there's something here.
Because
there was skullduggery and there were all kinds of claims that they'd been involved in dodgy deals and the directors weren't kosher and lots of other stuff.
It was exactly that. It was so there was no real reason. Fundamental reason other than their directors were looking a bit dodgy. So now they've put out a report saying that they've got 1.2 billion rands in suspicious transactions.
Phew.
Obviously, I know.
It's just a little bit.
So obviously the auditors have had a look and produced a forensic report, and that's what they've come up with.
Hmm.
So yeah, market absolutely shocked, horrified. Share was down 12%.
We have got to lock up some white-collar criminals.
I agree.
You know, we keep looking at petty criminals. There was some dude who was just sentenced to jail for 12 years for stealing cables in Mpumalanga. And they catch people who are at the lower end. But it seems that people at the upper end, whether they're extremely wealthy or connected to government, nothing happens to them. In other words, the more audacious your crime, the less chance you have of actually being held responsible for it.
Try not to give people ideas.
Well, it seems that that's the case. I mean, look at Marcus Uster and EOH on the corporate side, and then you've got government and state capture, which is just on an unbelievable scale. Not one person has gone to jail.
Shocking.
Not one.
It has to at some stage, though. Yeah. And the thing with Marcus Uster, I have no doubt the Germans are going to put him in jail. No doubt. I mean, they're German.
The Germans will, but in this country, zero accountability, and that's a big problem. Anyway, what else?
And then some very interesting news. Pioneer Food Group, which we've spoken about numerous occasions. On Thursday, the share was up 6%, and then on Friday, the share was up another 30%. And you know Zeda, the company we also previously spoke about, owns Pioneer Foods, and they were up 23% on Friday because PepsiCo have made an offer to buy Pioneer Foods. So PepsiCo coming into the country big and strong. I mean, talk about a great investment. The number that's being touted at the moment is 24.4 billion rand.
Yeah.
So that's very nice. So,
very good.
It's a shame to lose a company like Pioneer Foods off the JSE, but it's great that a big multinational like PepsiCo is interested in investing in South Africa.
Well, that's great. I mean, didn't Pepsi, they were here and then
it didn't
really work and then they were out and now they're back in.
Well, during the apartheid era, they pulled out.
That's right.
Then they came back and then because it didn't work, they left and now they're looking for fertile soil again.
Because we had Pepsi for a while, and then suddenly it wasn't there anymore.
Mm. Did you miss it?
No, not really.
Just checking.
Yeah, no, I didn't miss a damn thing about that. All right.
And then the last thing I want to talk about is Netflix.
Yes.
Because they put out their second quarter results on Wednesday afternoon, after market closed. So, you know, the market couldn't trade. But, you know, they have after-hours trading in the U.S. And in after-hours trading on Wednesday, the share was down 12%. Mm. And basically, the issue is that for the first time since 2008, Netflix has lost net subscribers in the US. So, subscriber base has fallen. Globally, still increasing, but really, it's way off target. And so, the earnings were still okay. The earnings came in fairly decent number.
So, why would people be unsubscribing?
Because you can share your password with anyone. And so you don't have to have an account.
And can you? How many people can you share it with?
I don't know.
Because this is DSTV or MultiChoice's problem, right? Mm. We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, where you up to three devices,
Three
devices, or whatever it is.
I believe it's three.
Okay, well, anyway, I mean, for people who still have DSTV, yeah.
So that is interesting. I never thought about that for Netflix. Right. But they haven't made it. And that, you know, they had very strong 4-week sign-up period when they released all those big results, you know, the big programs, When They See Us, Murder Mystery, The Perfect Date, Always My Maybe or something. And still the numbers have fallen. So I think there's an issue with, definitely with competition, and maybe this password sharing issue.
Could be.
Yeah, it's also, summer is not great in the US for new shows.
But they do compare the same quarter with last year, okay. So they're not all comparing right. necessarily okay. this quarter with a winter quarter.
Fair enough. Mm. Well, someone says you can share your Netflix password with 5 people.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a useful bit of info. That's from Cassandra this morning. Useful to know. All right, Anthea.
Yeah, they'll have to curb this quite quickly because it is a bit of a hinder for their business.
And also, Netflix put their prices up in the last quarter quite significantly in the US. That was the other thing. So.
Well, also, I think people are subscribed to so many things that they look at it now and they go, well, do I really need all of these? Which one do I like the most? And can I get some of this stuff online? So I suppose maybe they're choosing. And there's a variety now. There's a menu that you could get into. All right. Thank you very much, Anthea.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Very good. Anthea and the Money Shot. CliffCentral.com just before 7. It's time to check in with Sean Saunders and find out what's going on in Beyond Bitcoin. Sean Saunders, of course, the CEO and founder of Revix, a company which we have been talking about for some weeks now. We're just a few days left of that special offer. They've got this really interesting risk-free investment offer where if you put in 5,000 Rand and you back one of their indexes, if you make money, you get to keep all the profits. And if you lose, they'll get you back up to your 5,000 Rand. Now, that doesn't happen too often where people are willing to put their money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
So you might want to get involved. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, very good. Thanks. And yourself?
Awesome, man. How's the risk-free investment going?
Well, lots the market's been down, I suppose, over the last bit.
But lots of takers?
Yeah, no, we've seen a ton of takers. So Revix has been paying quite a few individuals off, but it's been great. It's been good to see so many people get into the crypto space.
Yeah, I think it's also, you sometimes have to whet people's appetite and give them a reason to try something new if it's working good for you. All right, let's just talk about something that a lot of people are throwing around at the moment. I've heard at dinner conversations and so on, people talking about Libra coin, which is, of course, very topical because the U.S. lawmakers are up in arms about it. It's Facebook's new cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah, it is Facebook's new supposed cryptocurrency. It's not exactly out of the market just yet. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's meant to be their digital currency. And they're going to be accompanying it with a Calibra wallet, which is the online account of sorts that will store this Libra digital currency. It's meant to be launched, as I mentioned, in 2020. And what's different about this is that it's an asset-backed digital currency, which means that every Libra token will have its value fully backed by hard currencies like dollars, euros, yen, and probably some low-risk investments such as government bonds, maybe some gold. And this is different to fiat currencies that we have today that are only partially or fractionally backed by reserves and banks.
Tell me quickly, how many cryptocurrencies have a similar structure? How many cryptocurrencies have a similar kind of attitude to being backed by real currencies?
There's not too many. There's certainly a few. There's a few cryptocurrencies that are backed by gold. Mm-hmm. There's others that are looking to be backed by property. But what's really interesting as well with what Facebook's looking at doing is by putting short-term investments into a currency of sorts, it means that essentially you could be saving with your investments and spending with your investments. So think about owning a Naspers share as an example and being able to save every month in that Naspers share and spend out of that Naspers share. So you're constantly saving rather than using fiat currencies to do so.
Right. And it kind of blurs the line between investment and saving.
Yeah, very much so.
So why is this a game changer? Is it just because Facebook has so many users and even a tiny percentage of those users would make enormous scale for this Libra?
Yeah, so I mean, looking at the latest World Bank statistics, there's 5.7 billion adults on the planet today, and you know, those are the adults that don't have bank accounts out of the total that are the 7.7 billion people in total.
Right.
And sorry, let me repeat that. That's completely wrong. There's 7.7 billion people in the world today.
Right.
And there's 5.7 billion adults, and mm-hmm. there's 1.7 billion of those, according to the World Bank, that don't have access to a bank account of sorts, right? Okay. So having a global digital currency that can move across borders instantly at near zero cost, with nothing more than an internet connection, that can be a game changer. And I think secondly, just coming back to my previous point there, where you can kind of save with this investment of sorts. If you think about, you know, a lot of people in South Africa would view saving with dollars or pounds as, you know, means to actually hold value.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about what's happening in Venezuela or what's happened in Zimbabwe, you've seen mass currency depreciations.
Yes.
And hyperinflation and all the rest. So being able to store your wealth in a hard currency or hard asset of sorts, I think would be welcomed. And us in South Africa, I think we know this feeling pretty well.
That really is interesting. I also am sure that governments hate this because it disintermediates them. They can't get their greedy hands on all of it, and they can't monitor too much of it, which has its good and its bad, right? But what is the latest on these Senate hearings that were held in the U.S. last week? Why is the government opposed to LibraCoin?
Well, Facebook aren't exactly known to be the beacon of trust. So when you're looking at taking personal spending data mm-hmm. that could become the property of Planet Facebook, it means that they get more power. And I think we should remember what happened with WhatsApp a few years ago when Facebook actually bought that messaging application. They promised that they would never share user data. And 2 years later, they were sharing it between the two entities. So the worry is that the same thing could happen with Libra, even though they're saying that it won't, or they wouldn't take the data from the various Libra accounts. I mean, you never know.
What do you think about it? Do you think that government's biggest fear is that Facebook isn't trustworthy, or that they actually want to be able to oversee all of these transactions and be able to take their slice of the pie? I mean, probably a few of them are a few of these, and I'm talking not just of the U.S. government here, but a few of the governments all over the world are purely interested in how they can extract tax from these things.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think.
So they speak with a forked tongue because they want us to believe that they're trying to do this because nobody trusts Facebook. Meanwhile, nobody trusts them either.
No, that's true. I think naturally senators, various lawmakers globally need to better understand what Facebook are offering. So I think that's the first approach, and they need to do that, and that'll take some time. But naturally, I mean, you've got Facebook, which I think as of their last numbers, they had 2.4 billion people on Facebook and then 1.5 billion people on WhatsApp. That's more than any single country in the entire world.
Right.
That means that if you have a currency that essentially can be used by this many people, you know, will the dollar go away? Will the pound be affected? How will this affect small currencies like the rand or, you know, all these other small currencies? It's quite interesting.
I love it. We're living in such an interesting time. I don't see I don't see this happening in 5 years, but I can see somewhere in the future where people will be able to, you know how you select like on a drop down menu, you'll be able to select whatever country you want to be a citizen of on a drop down menu. Not only the countries, but you can also, you know, join up a community on like Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram or wherever else, and that would be your country.
Yeah,
I can see that happening.
We're living in exciting times, very, very exciting times.
Beautiful. All right, so you can buy any of the crypto bundles in July, and Sean will guarantee your investment for an entire month. Well, you've only got a few days left of that, but you can join up now. Use the promo code RISKFREE. That's one word, RISKFREE, to guarantee your investment. And Leanne even looks like she's excited about this. She knows nothing about Bitcoin.
I would have to take the risk-free option because I'm not very good at this stuff.
All right, Sean, anything else you want to throw in this morning?
No, nothing. Oh, I just thought it would be quite interesting. I mean, look, Libra, it could accelerate the adoption of cryptocurrencies. I think it's just we are seeing the emergence of this global digital token from Facebook. What's going to stop, as what you've just mentioned, having a drop-down menu for different digital currencies or different countries?
Sure.
You know, why not have Bitcoin? Why not have Litecoin? Why not have one of these other cryptocurrencies? That just becomes something that's a little bit more normal from a day-to-day aspect.
And that you don't have to rely on some bureaucrat making a mistake to create or destroy value in what you've saved.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, very good. All right, take a look at Revix. Go to revix.com and find out more, and you can check out more on cliffcentral.com. It's all available on our page. Just click on the Revix link, and you will find everything you need to know. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome. There we go. Time for you to go beyond Bitcoin.
This is cliffcentral.com.